We're Psalm 40 this morning, part B of Psalm 40. We started that last week. And I'm finishing up the thought of hoping in God, and that's in a place of rest. Faith has action associated with it. Love is a condition and a state of the heart. Love is the substance of God. Hope is a place that you sit and rest in. You've decided that you're comfortable with God, and the outcomes of things are all dependent upon Him. You're not trusting God for outcomes. That is, you're not prescribing outcomes to God. You are trusting Him with outcomes. And you love God in that way, and you're in a place of rest and hope with Him. And it's a wonderful place to be for a believer. The opposite for the unbeliever is a place of unrest, of wandering, wilderness wandering. All the Proverbs that were shared today, even Gretchen's odd one, has to do with our teaching today. So I was pretty excited about that, confirmation on things going on. Psalm 40 is a special psalm to me. I didn't bring this up last week, but part of our projects, we're assigning psalms to particular people, and you can do this as the Lord leads you. You can write one or two or more names on a particular psalm as that particular psalm brings to mind that person. And Psalm 40, I've got Maddie's brother written next to that. And there's quite a story that goes with that. A couple years ago, Maddie had been called by down in the Carolinas, asked to come get him. Quite a lot of prayer went into that and searching the Lord and consternation, meaning struggle, and deciding what to do over that. That particular night that I knew Maddie was seeking the Lord and praying, I had my heart broke for him. It was at a very odd time and a very inconvenient time to make space for somebody else in our life. This was the week before Camp Gregory. And so Maddie's the number one guy as far as the youth leader, you know, goes and coordinating things and being that presence there for the kids. And so I saw what would be a threat to the camp, his brother's issue. You know, family things come up and I've got to be able to deal with that. But I felt a little challenged by that and a little selfish a little bit. Hey, my wonderful Camp Gregory God, you know, this little thing of ours, God, you know, what's happening here? It's going to fall apart. As every year, there's always something, you know, and we go through this process of preparing for camp. And it's always wonderful. God always comes through. It's always different and beautiful. But this was a particular extra challenge because I thought Maddie was completely going to be gone out of the picture. And so I had a little selfish thing going on there. And just like, hey, God, can we just put this on ice? But just that, like, this needs to be decided now was my struggle through that night. So it was a sleepless night seeking the Lord. And God revealed to me something very special, and that was His love for Maddie's brother. It wasn't like a command to go do it. It wasn't like a green light. It wasn't some type of vision that way. It was something that He's done in different ways, but very rarely with me. And He showed His love for that person to me. And it overwhelms me. And so I was in a bed of tears that night, just broken, and nothing else mattered at that point except the will of God and to do it. And that's what Psalm 40 is talking about. Though I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, and we got up to this point in verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. It's a beautiful place to be. So you've got your things going on. You've got Camp Gregory going on. Those are great things and wonderful things and these things that are before us. And then you've got the will of God. So we need to know in the scheme of things, if things are mapped out, we've got these events coming up, we've got different things that we do, is not to go just through the motions of things or not to see those things as, wow, that's everything. And it's the next event after that. Please don't become an event-oriented Christian where it's all about that next thing. Allow the will of God to overtake you. Allow yourself to be part of this resurrected life of Jesus Christ. This is what we're called to in a relationship with Jesus, is to die with Him and to be raised with Him. That's a relationship with Jesus, His death and His resurrection. We have relationship, I like to call it entanglement, with both of those entities of Christ, His death and His resurrection. We saw in Psalm 38, when I had bow and arrows stuck all over me, from Psalm 38. He's going through it. You're going to see more of that come out here as the Psalms roll on. That's our life, going through that death. And we went through an exercise. Dick Anthony helped out with that. He got to play Jesus in that sense, where I was going through, Lord God, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. There's no rest in my bones. My iniquities are gone over my head. All of the suffering going on. My wounds stink, and all this going on. And then hearing the Lord say the same exact thing. It's like an echoing what I'm echoing. So I'm in fellowship with his death and suffering. I'm in fellowship with the suffering of Jesus. We're entangled together in that. And by us reading the same, I hope you got that picture and what it's like to go through suffering. You're not alone. You need to hear the voice of Christ with you, interceding with you. He's at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. So your prayer is his prayer, and there's an entanglement going on there, and there's strength that comes from that. And that's seen in the power of his resurrection. We know death doesn't have victory over us. We know that's not the end of the story, that we take an arrow and that's the end of everything. And the worm wins the day and death wins. No, death, where is your victory? The Christian says, the believer says. The resurrection speaks to life and eternal life. In a likewise manner, we're entangled with his new life. And when Jesus said sacrifices, when David said, and when Jesus would also say, sacrifice and offering thou didn't desire, my ears as thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering as thou not required. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do in thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. That is a place that I enter into now in that resurrection with Jesus. Now I echo him. I echo the Lord in his resurrection. I'm echoing his will. Lord God, this will, this thing that you want us to do, it doesn't make sense. Camp Gregory's coming up. It doesn't make sense to drive down there. It doesn't make sense at all, Lord God. But I delight to do in thy will. And that's apparent. That's real. That's what's happening right now, Lord Jesus Christ. So since that point that Maddie went down there, it wasn't an easy time for him. They went down to even further down south, down to a place that is a dinosaur camp. Creation evolution guy, kind of guy I followed for a long time, Ken Hovind. He's got a new work starting. He's got a heart for the Lord. But anyway, they ended up down there. And then they went from there. They actually visited some people down in Alabama, John DeBruin, who we used to know in Rochester. But all that process was a big struggle to see his brother going through that struggle. And he called me, you know, probably a week into this and said, Dad, I don't know. You know, I don't really know if we should bring him back, you know, seeing the condition he's in. And he says, what do you think? And Maddie's got a family to take care of himself and not seeing the resources to be able to help his brother in that way, looking to see where I was at and the commitment I would have for it. So we had the tent up at that time. It was the first year, I believe, we had the tent up. And I went down to the tent at that time and opened right up to this psalm, Psalm 40. And this happens to be the one that Teen Challenge also uses. And when I opened up to it, I'm not the Bible flipper and the Holy Spirit brings me to the right place every time. And that's not how I find the will of God. But when I started to read this, it was, again, the same thing that I experienced that night hit me again. The love of God for Maddie's brother. That doesn't mean he's a lovable person. Either am I. When we see the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's not because we're lovable, by the way. And some of the stuff that David talks about, my wounds stink, some of us just know how to put deodorant on a little better than others, but we're all in that same boat, okay? We all are decrepit, depraved, wicked of heart, deserving of hell. Anybody have an argument with that? So the love of God transcends that. It moves through all of that. And somehow or another, while I'm an enemy with him and my wounds stink, and I'm in this place of complete unsoundness to my bones, stinking in this nature, that his love is still there abiding over me. There's no cause for it that comes from me. It's all from him. It's an uncaused love. There's no strings attached. It's an uncaused love. It's called grace. We get to learn about this grace forever. We get to play with it a little bit down here, maybe get an inch or two deep with it. Then forever finding out this love of God hasn't entered into the mind or heart of man, these things. The real depth of this relationship that we are to have with God on a forever basis. So since that, it's been a couple of years. There's been a lot of ups and downs in that process of working with somebody and caught up in addiction. In the sin of addiction, it's sin, by the way. It is the sin of addiction. It's a worship problem. You've got something else in your heart that you're given to. Now, whether you have control or not at certain times, that's the struggle with addiction, that you're given over to it. We know that the Bible is very clear on this, that when he who practices sin becomes a slave of it, you're given over to it. You're in bondage to it. So there's that going on with it and the struggle of sin and the struggle of addiction. So that's been the last couple of years, and now we're at a place of one of those down valleys right now. And all I have is the promise of God. I don't have a whole lot of support, of encouragement from other people or actions. But I have the promise of God and the love of God that was shown to him and shown to me for him. I have that. I'm holding on to that. I'm going to stand on that. The same rock that has been promised for him, I'm standing on that rock, encouraging him to be a part of that, to stand also on that rock that God has established for him. So it's a difficult time. It's challenging for his family, for his kids, his wife, but it's challenging for everyone. It's challenging for everyone that's around someone that is caught up in the sin of addiction. So I think it's appropriate, as I've done in the past, when I've come across someone, I have their name against the psalm here, or near the psalm, that I'll read this in prayer right now. Standing in belief when my eyes don't see it, my ears don't hear it, my hands, any senses that come with a human being don't experience that this promise is true over him, I'm going to choose that it is. And I'm going to tell you right now that it is, and stand before you today in belief. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor is turned aside to lies. Oh man, that bull in the arena with the red cape. Man, does that paint the picture of addiction or not? The lies that it promises, and it's never there. It's always wished away, but we're drawn to it. We're drawn to that false promise that's always not there. There's nothing there. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This is a particular verse that's so powerful. In the process of working with people, discipling people, reaching out to people, extending your love to people, we need to resolve and relinquish our strength to his. Because many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works and thy thoughts toward us. Who can number them? Who can even speak of them? So that's a very powerful verse, not only for Maddie's brother, but also for everyone around him. We need to humble ourselves. And it's a very humbling experience, by the way. humble ourselves under the truth of God, that His thoughts, His ways are in control here. And it doesn't always work out like the Disney movie writers write it to be, or the websites that have great, powerful testimonies and how people received the Lord and lived happily ever after. It's not always like that. So His thoughts towards us, me, and everybody around, they cannot be reckoned. So God, I resolve to that. I step back from that. And I've been spooked sometimes by that. But it's like, wait a minute. I get fearful, man. I think read from a proverb about that the fear of the Lord. I shrink back. It's like, wow, I don't want to get ahead of God. I don't want to replace God. And God's trying to do something here and try to fix it and try to make it look good. What am I trying to protect? My testimony? What am I trying to protect? My trophy on the wall? What am I trying to protect? So I go through all of these things and I resolve to, like, wow, God, You are so much higher. Your ways are so higher, God. You're the Alpha and Omega. I'm not. I'm just a piece and puzzle. I'm a little instrument, Lord God, that You can pick up and use when You want to. But I love it when You use me, Lord God. I'm available to You. And I know Your love for us, Lord Jesus Christ, and Your thoughts towards us. Man, we can't declare them. They can't be numbered. He's given us examples in His creation of how things can't be numbered. Even the concept of infinity. Some of the books that my dad had just was a whole book about infinity. Just the concept of infinity. The mathematical concept, the whole concept of it. We're going to live in infinity, by the way, in eternity. There's not going to be an end. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Don't let me go in that direction. There's so many cool things I've learned recently. Hallelujah. God is good. He's amazing. Powerful. Thank You, Lord. So being in the likeness of His resurrection, Lord, we lift these things up. We lift these truths to You. We know Your word is powerful, Lord God, as Terry shared about it this morning. Every word is true, she said, Proverbs 30. We declare this to be the fact and the case over Maddie's brother's life and everybody that's around him, Lord. We declare this word that every bit of it is true. Every comma, every dot, every jot, every tittle is true. It's true. We stand on that, Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on that. Now, faith causes me to be able to go in action. Now, in this time of grayness and time of shadows and time where I can't see and feel, I've got to be able to express that. And I'm doing that now before You, but I also got to be able to express that in ways that God is leading me and to be able to show that faith in my belief. So still doing that in other tangible ways, not particularly directly with Him, but His family. So praise God. Thank You, Lord. What a growing experience. This is not about an individual. This is about a church. This is about a group. This is about a people. This is about a nation that's dying before us. It's about a church in general that's been found itself to be out of season. Out of season. To grown weak. Because of a powerful school system and education system and a powerful government that's really become so strong that the church has been pushed to the edge, been pushed out to the edge and outskirts of things. It's been kind of an anomaly in society. So now when we're looking to be strong and to be able to address something that's sinking our nation like the Titanic going down, we found ourselves to be grappling, struggling for strength to be able to deal with such things. When our forefathers and foremothers have gone through similar experiences. Yeah, they have. World War I, World War II, the Civil War. Absolutely detrimental and terrible. Ripping apart a nation, these wars have. Tearing apart families. Grandparents and moms raising up their kids by themselves. Our nation has been through this and the church has been strong. We can be strong again. It's not an overnight thing, and God has definitely put it on my heart, and that came through those Wednesday teachings a couple years ago. It was part of what God was preparing us to be a church that's strong again, to be able to do things like the church used to be. Praise You, Lord God. Hallelujah. I want to go full time. I'm biting the bullet to stay where I'm at my work. I want to go full-time ministry. It's been hard. Praise God. I'm excited more and more about the Word of God, and as Terry read, every word being true. I'm more excited about the eternal truth of God than I am anything of this earth anymore. I'm excited about what God has declared to be valuable. My relationship with my wife, children, and grandchildren. What God has declared to be valuable. My relationship with the church body. Convicting me yesterday. My prayer is anemic for the prayer for the church body. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm staggering under that conviction. It's like, wow, God, how can I be such a jerk? You know, just be so cavalier and be caught up in one thing and to the neglect of everyone, even in a small body like this. So I believe God is going to grow our church, and that's not going to come just like God waving a magic wand. He's causing us to grow and being prepared to be able to receive more people and to be able to be more effective in our community. Yeah, I wish it was faster, but I'm encouraged by other people that I'm aware of that are around me. Chuck Smith with Calvary Chapels is one example that I go to a lot, that worldwide churches now, and, you know, but there was 17 years of him trying to be something that he's not, trying to be an evangelist and trying to be a Billy Graham. That was his, what he thought was what it was all about, until it said, no, you're a teacher, when he started being what he was supposed to be. When he got into that place where God says, now you're ready, then the church started to grow. So thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, 17 years. You know, it's like, that's amazing to me of just, you know, existing and working through it. And praise the Lord. But God is very patient. We want it yesterday. We want it in 2 days. Hallelujah. We want it prime. I mean, Amazon Prime. You know, we want it all right now. Hallelujah. I spent a lot of time there this morning. But that's all right. I wasn't even sure if I was going to touch on that subject. It's been a very delicate matter for us as of late. But that's the psalm we're in. I delight to do thy will, oh my God. Would you join with me with that prayer and that thought this morning? I delight to do thy will. You know what you're doing? You're in fellowship with Jesus. It's not a burden on you. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. You're yoking up with a stronger, much stronger ox in the field. That's Jesus Christ. We're the young ox that's coming along and being yoked up. It's his strength. It's the power of his resurrection. Lord God, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I want your word to course through me, Lord God, to be part of me, Lord God. I want to become these things, Lord Jesus Christ, to become love, not just to try to make an effort to make something look like love, but to actually to become love, to become truth, to have these things in my very inner being, to have this word hid in my heart, Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 8 there, to have your law within my heart, to be my very nature now, to have Christ in me. I delight to do thy will, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, the Lord delight to give you the delights of your heart in this place of delighting yourself in him. His law written in your heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. David is going to talk about this and also in the next psalm on how he's considered the poor, how he's been in the congregation, and he's kind of reflecting back, almost with a broken heart there, we're going to see in the next psalm, of his relationship with the people of God, and it's like, that's where I belong. You know, with success and or failure, as in this case, David would have both in great extremes, can bring you into a place of like, man, I forgot how good it was. I forgot how good it was with God. I forgot how good it was with just that intimacy with him. And I was, during worship today, I was thinking about that. I went back to a place where we're in New Paltz. Mindy was just a baby, and Brianna was a couple years old. And what a sweet, beautiful time. We were just starting to develop in the Lord. And for us, we had to physically get away from from the town that we were in, I had to especially, had to get away from everything. As wonderful as our family was and friends were, we just had to get away, and we had to find who we were. We had to find who we were. And I know Mindy and Maddie have been able to do that in Haiti, and in an extreme way, just really away. That was our time of incubation, that we were just away from all the influences, and my beer buddies, fishing buddies weren't knocking on the door. And, you know, it's just, okay, I'm away. But all of that followed me anyway, because all of that junk was in my heart. But at least I was away from people, places, and things, where now we could start to grow and deal with the wickedness in my own heart, deal with this deceitfulness in my own heart, and start growing in the Lord. And that's what we certainly did down there. It was a very precious time, very busy time, though. You know, you were working at McDonald's. I was second shift IBM. And, you know, it was diapers. And, you know, it's a lot of that going on. But, man, there's so much precious times. Baptizing our kids in the creek, you know, dedicating them to the Lord behind the house there. And just growing in the Lord and just finding resources that we could just start learning the Word of God. And growing in Him, being excited about the Lord, and what a tender time. And David is going through his experience now. It's like, you know, I've been in the congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. You know it. I have not hid thy righteousness, in verse 10 there, within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Beautiful prayer. Beautiful prayer. There's a couple of verses out of Psalm 40 here that are on Billy Graham's card of his. We were looking at that yesterday. Very interesting. Somebody saved the Billy Graham's commitment card, decision card from 1934. I decided to receive Christ. You sign your name on it. And it has the prayer of salvation on it. And then it has memory verses. Memorize these verses. And Psalm 40, there was a couple of them in there from Psalm 40 that he would need to memorize. That little church down in the Carolinas. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth, truth and love, don't let them things stop dancing together, folks. Don't get caught up in the movement where it's all about love and feel-goodness kind of stuff, because that's the sign of the latter times. And that's not love, by the way. That's a perversion. Love and truth go together. We look in 1 Corinthians 13. Love rejoices in truth. Rejoices in truth. It's singing with it. It's dancing with it. They're forever entangled. Love and truth, forever entangled. It's the very substance of God. Don't try to separate them. Don't try to take the seed out of the grape to make it easy for people to eat so they don't hurt their teeth. You're taking eternity out of that fruit, folks, when you do that. You'll never be able to plant another grapevine again. All you're going to have is fruit, and it's going to be false fruit, false fire. Very important verse right here this morning. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. That beautiful eternal dance that we have with God. Love and truth. Intermixing, interchanging, interacting with the love and truth. The person of the Holy Spirit now given to us. Conveying the love of God, it says in Romans 5:5. Shedding it abroad in your heart. Not dribbling it out like some stingy God. Shedding it abroad in your heart. The love of God. Then he says in John 14 or somewhere in there, John 15, where he says the Holy Spirit of truth giving us, I'm going to the Father, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit of truth leading you into all truth. That eternal dance we are to have with God, preserving us. And we are all to now preserve the communities around us and the world around us. We become that salt of preservation by bringing the truth, by bringing love together out into the communities and wherever we go, the workplace. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Welcome to the club, David. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. You've been in that place. You feel so heavy, you can't even pick up your head. came and roll your eyes up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. So Justin, Lord, we pray for that situation behind us, Lord Jesus, or wherever they're going. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for those servants of the Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Ambulance heading out, Lord God. We pray for those that are in fear right now, that are in that place of every second counts. The next minute is not guaranteed. And that the evidence of that is so clear, Lord God. And we know that can be a good thing, Lord Jesus, people reaching out to you in this time. So we pray that does happen, Lord God. It's not always a bad thing, Lord Jesus, to have these kind of things. They can be the windshield wipers that we can finally see clear, Lord God, that life is very fragile, that life is just a wisp, Lord God. And we need to do things now to get in that place of knowing you, Lord God, holding on to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. A neat comparison in the same song here is this innumerable idea of infinity, innumerable, uncountable. Uncountable evils have surrounded me, but also, don't forget, he was just there talking about it in verse 5, about the thoughts of God towards us. So each of those innumerable evils that we have in our life, that's what stress is. It's like you're overwhelmed. It's all around you. You can say it's been canceled out by God's innumerable thoughts towards you. Each one of those things. Each one of those things has been covered by this innumerable thoughts of God towards us. So let that surround you and allow that to quench the fire of the enemy. Be pleased, O Lord, in verse 13, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. He's going to finish the song that way, God. Don't delay, Lord God. We don't like that delay. We want that help quickly. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. That's equivalent to the middle finger or cussing someone out. That's very derogatory in the Hebrew. You don't see four-letter words in the Hebrew ever used, or there weren't any. That would be it. That would be a type of gesture. That would be a type of thing that's like really derogatory, that really just violates you verbally. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. What separates you from the chaff? What separates you from the old nature? What separates you from the sin nature is that you love his salvation. You love the salvation of the Lord. No strings attached. By the way, we're to love each other in the same way. No strings attached. Your brother needs $20. That's it. It's forgotten. You give him the $20, you forget about it. You forget about it. You forget about it. God has given you great grace, and he's not holding those strings over you of now you have to work for it to pay it back. You don't owe God anything. That's the type of unconditional love that we're to show and we're to express and to allow to flow forward. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. His thoughts towards you are innumerable. The Lord be magnified. The heavens declare the glory of God. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, and compassionate, full of mercy. Glorify him. Magnify the Lord above the situation you're in. He finishes, but I am poor and needy. The struggle is there. It's real. As soon as you magnify the Lord, you get all of a sudden the attack is there a minute later. And you're like, am I going crazy? Am I schizophrenic? No, you're a believer. You're struggling. You're in that place. You're in a beautiful place. Keep working it. Keep working it. I am poor and needy. This is poor in the sense of being depressed, being afflicted by whatever's going on. Could be external circumstances. Could be internal. Not necessarily like not having anything in your wallet. That comes into the next psalm. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. There he is, magnifying the Lord. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Blessed is he, Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Just coming from that word poor, last psalm, different word in the Hebrew there. This is actually means kind of like hanging in the wind, blowing in the breeze, like a leaf or a door that's swinging in the breeze. Somebody that's hasn't been eating, so they're gaunt, they're thin. Blessed is he that considers the poor. That's the one that physically needs to eat. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. So that's speaking of, again, David is going back to remembering the things that he did. Remembering the things that he did as he was working the will of God. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. That's those that help the poor. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Beautiful, beautiful place to be able to reach out and help the poor in the promise that goes with that. So just like there's arrows flying, remember that? We talked about that last week. There's the pronouncement of the curse over the world because of the original sin that was made. You can think of that as arrows. I don't know how theologically correct that is, but maybe it can help you a little bit. When God pronounced that curse, there's these arrows flying around. And it's because of sin. We went to Romans 7. We looked at it, why he did it. He subjected the earth to vanity and hope that we wouldn't be in this condition, deprived condition forever. So we put expiration on everything. And those are the arrows that are flying around. The arrows of consequence as well. And every religion recognizes that these arrows are flying around, that there's bad karma and good karma. There's that kind of thing. You'll hear this type of thing. And that all comes to the same creator that created the tree. He also created the oceans and all these things and created these laws of nature, where if you do certain things, then certain things could happen or may happen. That, there's a negative flow to that and a positive. And you see, the whole framework of the old covenant is based on that cursing and blessing that God pronounced over the Garden of Eden there after they went in that direction. They went in the knowledge of good and evil. They dwelled on that tree now. And so in that dwelling, we now have curses and blessing, good and evil. And that's the reality that we have here. We talked about the negative curses, David going through that. Here's a positive one, a positive arrow, a blessing. But still, it's the pronouncement that God did in a general way. Just like he set creation in motion and he rested, he pulled back and he rested. The trees continue on, the fish continue on to reproduce, and the cycles of water continue. This thing over the earth of the laws of nature still exist. And God pronounced them, and he pulled back and rested. And that was part of now his creative forces being done. And we see those blessings and cursings all around us. And Mark read it. These take place on the good and the evil. He watches over the good and evil. That was Proverbs 15. There's other places that speak of that as well. Different verses that talk about, you know, him sending rain on the good and the evil. Different proverbs, different places in the scripture. And that all speaks to these arrows that are flying around. It all speaks to the system that God has created around us. A system of biology, a system of physics, and a system of consequences. That all around us, there's moral law that is enforced around us. And that's part of the structure of God's universe around us. So, and God is resting from that, but that's what exists outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all we have, is to try to get good karma or whatever you have. This, try to do good and try to stay on that side of blessing. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, that we could be in Christ and we can be in all spiritual blessings, as it says in Ephesians, that all spiritual blessings are ours and we don't have to play this tightrope walk of blessings and cursings anymore. But here's where we are. The arrow is now flying in the positive direction for David, speaking about his time of taking care of the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Those that have taken care of the poor have reached out. The helpless, the powerless. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. This is the promise. This is the blessing that comes when you do good to others. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of his languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. He will cause him to recover, restore him. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? So, very interesting. He's dealing with a curse. David is saying, I have sinned. So he's dealing with an arrow in his head that he deserved. So he's on this languishing bed, but at the same time he's saying, I'm going to grab hold of a blessing because I've fed the poor. Do you see that in the song? It's a crazy way to live. That's the old covenant right there. Thank you, Jesus. There's a great picture of it in these last couple of Psalms. My enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaks vanity. So it's like a friend that's not really a friend. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes abroad, he tells it. So he speaks one way to you, then he's gossiping about you behind your back. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaves fast to him. This is part of the stuff that they're talking about him. And now he lies and he shall not rise up anymore. Hey, you know, he's sensing this. He's discerning this through the Holy Spirit that they're just written him off. And he's going to die. You know, he's just going to die and that's it. You know, we're not to do that, right? As a believing body, we're to pray life or pray in a positive way for these people that are in situations like this. So you don't go to that person and tell them a few encouraging words and you go out of the room and you say, oh, they're dying. You know, so you need to carry that faith that you spoke to them in person and carry that out wherever you go. That's really important in dealing with people. Learned that in the past couple of years as well. As you're speaking to that person, you carry that everywhere you go. You know, so you don't change the story. Say, I'm believing for you. God loves you. And then you go tell everybody else that I believe God loves him or her. And you carry that everywhere. You don't do this two-faced thing. Yes, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. We know that carries right in to somebody that Jesus would deal with, right? Judas. And in fact, that Last Supper would be eating bread, dipping together, and then being filled with Satan and leaving and trading Jesus in. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I might repay them. You know, that's not a repay them to go punch them. The repayment is that I lived. You know, the repayment is I'm praising the Lord still. The one that says, where is your God now? Where's, you know, that mockery and that aha, aha stuff. And to be able to live and go back and praise the Lord. Even though you failed, he said it right in here. I've sinned, I've failed, I've made a mess of my life. But here I am, I'm alive today, and today I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about yesterday. But right now, I'm going to praise the Lord. And that's the repayment right there. The repayment. Tomorrow, just keep praising the Lord. Do it again. It's what God has given us life in bite-sized chunks. They're called days, 24 hours. And you get to sleep half of it. For some of us, anyway. Some get a couple hours of sleep. By this I know that thou favorest me because my enemy does not triumph over me. And as for me, you uphold me in my integrity and settest before me thy face forever. I would rather be in front of God's face than in the rearview mirror. You know, that's quite a picture. That's where I want to be, before the face of God forever. And that promise comes in the gospel. That only comes in the gospel. I don't want to play this game where in the rearview mirror now. Man, you blew it. You're in the rearview mirror now. I want to be forward-facing with God, having that forward face with him going forward. And that's only in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, it's you blew it today, tomorrow maybe, and that kind of thing. It's an old covenant relationship. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Double amen on this one. Amen and amen. You've heard preachers say that. There it comes in Psalm 41. Amen and amen. We're only going to do one verse from Psalm 42 because my daughter Brianna is going to be visited by her mother next week. We won't have our worship team or there. As the hart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Praise God. We're going to talk about this next week as she's up there. She's actually going to be able to do music for Brianna's outreach. Okay. The outreach is called The Well, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to go into John 4:14, where Brianna is using as her cornerstone verse about the living water, got that promise of that outflow, that outpouring of the living water. We're going to talk about that ministry she has, how it relates to this thirst. The title of that is going to be Reborn and Redirected, Our Thirst Now Being Redirected to Heavenly Things instead of Earthly Things, trying to find satisfaction in that. Very excited about that teaching. Don't have time for it today, but we're going to close in prayer today and pray a blessing over that time that you have with her, starting with that. Father God, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for this. It's a new ministry starting, the well, it's called, as in the water well. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be a great visit for you know, Gretchen's heart breaking for her grandkids. And so we lift that time up to you. Bless it, Lord Jesus Christ, and being able to bring music to her daughter's ministry is just a cool thing too, Lord God. We're excited about this, Lord, and the different things that Brandon's had breakthroughs with, Lord God, from anxiety and fear, even more and more, Lord God, being delivered from that, being set free, Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for that testimony, Lord God, and be able to share more about that next week. Lord, so we pray that your word be powerful in us and moving through us, that we would not just move it around in our mind, it would become these things, Lord God. We'd yield to them. We would submit our lives, Lord Jesus Christ, present our bodies as a living sacrifice to you, Lord, and allow you to transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.